on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, the Reggae Warrior, Ross Peltier, the Italian Stallion, or Mini, Elliot Minchella, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in Pulse 2 Studios. The boys are in the house, so hey boys.
Yep. Hey boys.
Hey, you know what? What I thought was cool. Elliot, the try-scoring machine, that is Elliot Minchella. You did a Superman try on the weekend, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about it.
Did I hear about it?
I saw a picture of it. Look, I've seen Superman try, you know, we've all seen these Superman tries over the course of our fledgling careers. Ethan Ryan does some of the best in the world, but yours wasn't as pretty as his.
Some people don't know that.
It's a bit sloppy.
Ethan learns from me. Some people don't know that, but Ethan knows.
He surpassed his master, yeah. I reckon.
But yes, I've seen them done at State of Origin, NRL, and you got one down at Hemel Hempstead at the weekend. So Just instinct, mate. I want to know
what you were doing on the sideline.
Well, actually, Brandon Pickersgill put a kick to the corner. I think it was Liam Johnson, patted it back to Dalton. He gave it to me, and I just one-on-one with a defender. I had to beat him.
There were three defenders in front of me.
Yeah, so
by the end of the night, there were five. By the end of the time you get back on the bus, there were five defenders.
So it was about 5 yards. I just stepped to my left, went round to my right, sorry. Dived in the corner and then.
So, you know, you're sitting top of the try scoring tally at this point in time. 13 tries to Mini.
Two wingers chasing him.
Yeah.
Two wingers.
Yeah, the top
Dalton's
five.
Dalton's right on your heels, though, isn't he?
The top five, they're all backs other than myself. That's not bad, is it?
It's saying something, isn't it? You're just throwing that into the universe.
Yeah, saying that I'm greedy, yeah. I'm pretty greedy.
No, I'm saying that, you know, Ross next year isn't too far behind because by Pulse 2 standards. He's on 10.
No, he scored again, didn't he?
Did you score on the weekend?
I'm on 5 for the season.
You can't count the one at Warrington because it didn't get allowed.
No, I'm on 5. I'm
and
on 5
the Challenge
the
Cup games don't count, neither do pre-season friendlies. You're on 3.
Scholars, West Wales, Workington, Keighley, and this. 5 tries.
Okay,
5
tries actually, you're a long way.
So, you know what I mean? He's trying to count me down. I'm on 5 tries for the season. That's league tries.
Okay, well, just to make it a fair race, we're actually going to restructure our point scoring system. So we're going to devalue it from 5 tries to 3 tries.
Oh yeah.
So you're now on 15, which means Elliot has to chase you by 2. That's got to be fair.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Look, we've got to take into account that Elliot spends a lot more time on the field. So your try scoring ratio per minute is actually probably a lot better than Elliot.
I spent some more time on the field this week. About 10 minutes more. I don't know if you want to tell everybody about that.
Let's expand on that. What happened, Ross?
Nah.
Why were you spending an extra 10 minutes that you didn't ask for?
It wasn't his fault.
Nah. I was frustrated. I had a few balls out in contact.
Yeah, a few points of beer on the way down. I don't know.
People were playing at ball in contact, and I've stood up to play at ball, and the defender was still holding it, so I've pushed him, and he's dived and done about 10 rolls backwards. So referees give them the penalty. I want that in, and you know, I said something, and then he said something he shouldn't have said.
Have you not seen what's been going on in the sport of rugby league recently?
Yeah.
Referees are putting their hand into their card, pulling out into their pockets, pulling out yellow cards willy nilly. They're getting a grip back on the game. They're getting control of the game again. So you can't even look at a referee. And you know what? I'm with them. Respect, mate. These kids that are watching you, you've got to lead by example.
Yeah.
Did you come back on the field, shake his hand, and say, "I'm sorry, sir"?
Nah. Nah, there were about 4 yellow cards that game, though, so there were a lot of sin bins that game.
Do you not think in League One there is a lot more biff going on, isn't there? There's a lot more junk going on.
That's what I mean. Every time you're in contact, people just playing up ball and like not trying to tackle.
Yeah, there was a stage in that game on Sunday that Hemel had 11 players on the field. They had 2 off at the same time.
Because they need that, isn't it?
Two separate incidents as well, yeah. And
that pitch is that small, man.
Yeah. But yeah, job done. 68-0, but the nil was the best bit.
The nil.
Yeah.
So John would have been really pleased with that, yeah?
Yeah.
Is there an argument to say that you're still not hitting your stripes at the moment? And what would you put that down to?
I think we're missing one of our most influential players, Joe Keys. I think, you know, I'm trying to fill his gap and it's pretty hard for me. But no, even I know that we're, you know, I'm playing his position sort of thing, but I know that he's a big part of our team. He's a big talker out there and we're missing him big time. And we're missing Greg McNally as well, just his experience at the back. But Pickers is playing out of his skin at the minute.
Will he get back in?
That's it. He's got two man of matches in a row as Brendan Pickersgill. So.
Yeah, young Brendan's killing it. But yeah, I normally play on Keezy's side and, you know, he tells me everything to do and I do it. And
you're lost without him?
Yeah.
How old are you now?
26.
So you're 26 and you started playing when you were 4. 22 years you've been playing this game and you still don't know how to play it without being told what to do.
Started playing when I was 13, but yeah.
Is it because you got demoted from the backs into the forwards?
Yeah, well, anyone who knows me, sometimes I struggle getting a point. So like I kind of run wherever I feel to run.
I think John's got a problem with that. JK's got the biggest problem. Where are you going?
Yeah.
Well, he's the smallest bloke on the field. He's 50 metres away from you. There's 14 defenders in between you and him. Where are you going?
That is what some of the conversations are like sometimes. But yeah, you know, Keezy's, he generals us around. You know, he showed before he got injured how influential he was for us. But he's back.
He's your general, isn't he? Yeah, you've got Chizzy, who plays kind of X Factor, yeah. But he's your general.
Yeah, Keezy's the organizer. So yeah, he's back training this week. So we'll get back in his stride now. And I think he's come back at the perfect time now. Like it's that time of the year now. All the teams that are around us have to come to us. So we've done all the hard work.
So it's not an attitude thing. It is a direction thing. It is Elliot Minchella completely letting you down in the middle of the park, giving no one direction, just holding the ball and just scoring tries himself.
It's hugging the ball. It's a mixture because, like you say, we played against Hemelin and we were very ordinary and we still won 68-0. So, you know, when you're playing teams like that, sometimes
up in Newcastle, you were off the mark.
We were,
you know,
off
there
the
was
mark,
had nothing to do with direction and momentum.
You're
dropping balls. Yeah. You're missing tackles. I would argue you. Probably you'd admit this, went into the game soft.
Yeah.
You know, that aggression, that assertiveness that you guys have been known for in that league have sort of made a bit of your brand, just wasn't there in that game against Newcastle. How do you fix that?
It's one of them. It's the mentality, I think.
I'll tell you how you fix that.
How do you fix it?
This was going somewhere. It's the little things you do off the 80 minutes. That's how you fix it, boys. Take it from someone who's long in the tooth. But it's true. When you get that stuff off the field and away, and every little aspect and little detail of what you do, it keeps that continuity on the field. But you know what it's like. And when things are going wrong, going right on the field, but you're still not hitting your straps, that's when it's time to actually do those extras. You know, what got you there in the first place? You go back to what you know. You go home. That's what I'm talking about. I've been where you guys have been, where you're just dominating that part of the season. You're going through a run of games which probably aren't as testing as some of the others. And it's sort of, how do you get your head around it? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the way you do get your head around it is by doing the little things away from the pitch. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, two students there, look.
Oh, yeah. Always the master, aren't you? Educating.
Hey, but we all had to learn. I had to learn that as well. I've had some great, great teachers over the years as well. Let's just have a look at the Super League. Very, very interesting round, this last round. That first game, Castleford versus St. Helens. Expected? Not expected? I think there was a real 50-50 going into that game with us on this panel anyway.
Yeah, I expected Saints to go do a job, you know, Benny Barber, with that try, were a class try.
I want to bring that try up because I thought, you know what? If the ball doesn't come off his leg, I reckon the referee calls that a knock on.
Well, he will, but it came off his leg, so it's not.
Well, it's not true. If the ball's travelling backwards, the ball's travelling backwards.
Well, yeah, I see what you mean.
The ball can't travel forward then come off his own leg.
I thought Chris Kendall, was it Chris Kendall? Yeah, it was. I thought he refereed that game really well, mate.
I thought he did as well. But don't get me wrong, there was the McMeekin try.
Yeah.
No way a try.
But we want refs to be more
independent.
Yeah, more decisive with the decision making. and to send that straight up, to give that try straight away. Everyone was expecting to go to the screen. All the Cast fans were incensed, and then a few minutes later, it showed you on the replays that he was spot on, and he's touched judges, and the officials got it absolutely on the money. So yeah, I was good.
So you believe there was a try?
Of course, it was a try. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
it was a try because they put it in the papers the next day, but I don't believe he had control. And that last shot that they showed of it, you could see the separation between his hand and the ground. But I'm with you. I'm still with you. I like the way the game flowed. He went to the video screen once.
Yeah.
And give me that every day of the week. You know, and that's what we're in it for, isn't it? It's all about entertainment, and it's about supporters' entertainment. I don't know if you guys are the same as me, but I was fed up, absolutely fed up with the amount of times and the excuses and the reasons we were going to the video referee. And I get it, but anyway, the outcome was to be expected. Did you think Castleford were going to be as poor as they were for that opening 60 minutes? I was surprised by that because that first try that they let in an opening 3 minutes was soft, you know, through Jesse Sini Lefau right underneath the sticks, just hitting it off the ruck. Don't get me wrong, Kyler Moore is a great player, but you should be able to deal with that.
I thought Saints did what they've done to a few teams this year, and they made Cass look actually worse than what they were. There were some individual errors there from Cass, and they dipped below what the standards they set of themselves, but St Helens are caught above at the minute. Everyone's been raving about Barber, but it was Lomax on Thursday night, wasn't it? He was phenomenal.
Outstanding.
And then there's Richardson, then there's Robert. And the other thing which probably gets forgotten as well at the minute is that they're doing it without their best pack man in Walmsley. All the other boys are stepping up around him, so it's a great squad to be a part of, I'm sure, and I'm sure they'll be buzzing for Sunday.
Actually, I wouldn't mind coming back, and we'll just have another quick chat and a look at the Super League round, because I think it's just starting to separate the competition points at this point in time. All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have a look at this part of the game and also have a look at the Summer Bash. But before we do that, let's have a look at the roads.
It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Aaron Bauer, Ross Peltier and Elliot Minchella. We've just been talking about the Super League standings. Before we go any further, I did post a caption competition, but there's no prizes to be won, with JK, John Kerr, talking to Ross and what our supporters thought the conversation might be built around. I just thought this one from, where's that one from? Scott Jackson. Scott Jackson thinks the conversation is going along the lines of John, this is JK talking to Ross, and then I jumped out of the window and legged it all the way home before you even knew I'd been there. I don't know what he's really trying to say there. Another one coming from Dan Jackson. That's Scott Jackson. It might be Dan's brother, Scott and Dan. I told you before, people always beat Rock. So keep them coming in if you've got some. And another one, Linda Fuller said, I said, take the left turn at Oddsall. No, boss, you said right. What does he actually say to you?
He was telling me...
stop running at the little fellas when there's 14 other players between you and them.
When we've got a certain play on, when I'm out back of it, just run straight forward. Don't go left, don't go right, go straight forward. That's it. That's what you're telling me, so...
I love that. You know what? That's your job, mate.
Yeah.
You're a donkey.
Yeah, I know.
Don't stop trying to think like a halfback. You leave that to Elliot and the pretty boys.
He's a half in a prop's body.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's wasted. He has so much ability. That people. What did he say that time? They can't understand my creativity.
Yeah,
Picasso. That's right.
They put me in boxes, but...
they try to put you in a box. I'm not a front row.
One day. This is what I say, like, I see people like Sam Fidey, I think, I could play back row as well, but no one lets me. They say, no, you have to play front row. So, it upsets me, but, you know.
But you're a strong man, and you just take it on the chin and roll with the punches, don't you?
Yeah, just roll with it, you know what I mean?
I just think, potentially, I reckon you could play back row as well. Dynamic, explosive. Yeah. Just back row, stay on the field a little bit longer. It's all about engine time there. We're talking about it, aren't we?
Yeah, I could do
you
that.
You can't, because you've got two donkeys in front of you, and you can't keep rolling three players on and off like that. So that's a challenge for you in 2019.
Does that, he does that. He rolls a back rower on and off. He did it weekend.
Oh no, I'm not saying that he won't do it from time to time, but you can't do it consistently. Yeah. So what you could do for 2019, get that engine up.
Yeah.
Intermittent fasting during your off-season, you know, lean up a little bit and then a brand new me.
Yeah, it could be, you know, it could be.
It's exercising, working out down it. At Hub 26.
Yeah, Hub 26, work out.
Come down and work out with the big boys. All right. Look, we were talking about the Super League. I thought this weekend's games was actually really interesting in regards to the table itself. The top three teams, St. Helens, Wigan and Warrington, there just seems to be this gap that I'm not really talking about from a points point of view. Well, it is with St. Helens. They're on 28 points, so they've got a two game winning gap between them and Wigan, who are on 24, although Wigan do have a game in hand. Warrington are on 22 points, but Hollisfield, Carsfield and Leeds Rhinos, who are beneath them on 18, 18 and 15, they seem way off the pace at the moment.
What do you guys think about that? Castleford are. They've got two games in hand on Warrington. If they win them, they're level third.
I understand what we're talking about is points there. I'm talking on the pace of the game.
Yeah, look, Cass got schooled by St. Helens on Thursday, but Castleford were doing that to teams last year, and they didn't win the one that mattered come October. So all you've got to do is make sure you're fourth, or at the very worst, fourth come 30 games played, and Castleford hadn't even played half the games yet. So I'm not particularly worried for Cass. I think if they win this weekend, obviously they're going to the top four, don't they? Still with a game in hand. They've got Hull KR in one of their games in hand. And then I think there's a four starting to develop. Hull and Leeds got a lot of injuries. Hull have obviously got the cup this weekend, as of Leeds, of course. But the Rhinos are struggling. Hull, look, they were okay for the first 25, 30 minutes on Friday at Warrington, but really, they were well beaten by the end. So I see St. Helens, Wigan, Warrington and Cass as the four best teams. I'm happy to be proved wrong on that. But I think in a month or so's time, there could be a real possibility. If Cass get a roll on and Cass get some results, they could be way ahead of Hull and Leeds.
What about Huddersfield? I mean, they're on 11 points. They've just got their nose above the million pound zone, so to speak. You know, they're bottom four. They've won their last four games.
You're not going to try and tell me Huddersfield have got a chance of making the top four, are you, Robbie? If Huddersfield finish eighth, they'll be delighted.
If you think about Hull FC, Cass, they're all on 18 points at this point in time. It's not unbelievable. There's still enough games to go in the competition.
Huddersfield can't make the top four.
Catalan have got more chance to make it top four than Huddersfield, I'd say.
I still think Catalans are the favourites to finish eighth over Huddersfield, actually.
Wow.
They've turned a corner. They've got home advantage.
That was the next part of the conversation. It was, you know, looking at these bottom four teams. You got Wakefield on 14. Do you think that's enough of a gap to keep them their noses clean and out of their bottom four?
I think they only need to win two more. They've got a game in hand against Widnes, which looks pretty good value at this moment in time. That'd take them to 16. I think they'd only need one more after that from the last seven games to be on 18. Then I think they'll be fine. Wakefield, yeah, I think it's four from five.
And equally, looking at the, you know, onwardness.
Done.
Cooked. Stick a fork in them. Yeah. They're cooked. They're done.
Done. Done.
Right. Someone upset Aaron today.
No. There's a clear split starting to emerge now.
That's right.
I know Hull KR won against Wigan on Friday.
It's a big win, that.
There was a lot of emotion going on internally at Wigan, wasn't there, during the week, that week. That has obviously had a...
We talked about it, didn't we?
That's obviously played a part. If there was ever a week to play Wigan, that was a good week. They've won 4 out of 15. I worry for Salford. They're in the 8 now, so they're in the 4 now, so they're playing catch-up, and you wonder where their next win's coming from, Salford. They really look like they're struggling. I think, betting man-wise, Salford, Hull KR and Widnes is probably three of your bottom four, and Huddersfield, Catalans are in a race to be the other one. But for Huddersfield's sake, if they do finish in the bottom four, I think with the way they are playing and the fact they've got a new coach, I think they'll survive with some ease in the qualifiers.
For me, I'm still not convinced with Wakefield yet.
They have got an ability to produce awful performances of Wakefield. Yeah.
It's been so hit and miss.
It's about winning the games that matter for Wakefield now, isn't it? So this game in hand with Widnes is huge. When they play Hull KR, when they play Salford, they're the games that are absolutely huge, really. They've got Wigan next Thursday on TV. Really, in the context of their season, that is not as massive a game as maybe it was after a month gone when they were four wins from four. I'm sure they'll be picking and choosing. I'm not suggesting they'd throw games, but if players were maybe 80-90% fit and they had a game against Widnes next week, I think they'd be more inclined to leave that player out to make sure they were right for the games that matter. I still think they'll be okay, but I understand that they could quite easily get dragged into it. I mean, they're only two wins clear, aren't they, as things stand? But there is a split starting to develop.
Now, in Betfred League One, you guys are sitting on top of the pile. Teams are chasing you, but you're dealing with it. It's all about you guys at the moment. But I think it's quite interesting looking at the Betfred Championship competition. Toronto obviously sitting on top spot. But Lee Centurions, I think they showed enough to really put some real fear. I think we've all been talking about it, that they're murmuring back to life. But do you think that they can really come from behind? Look, London Broncos, Featherstone Rovers on 20 points, Halifax are on 19 points.
Game in hand.
Then Lee Centurions are behind them in sixth place, but on 18 points. So real pressure there for the top four teams?
Yeah, there's real pressure. I think, anyone can fall out of that top four. I think, London and Fev will be looking over the shoulder with Lee. Halifax putting a good performance to beat Fev,
weird, eh? Halifax are a bit strange because they've always been there or thereabouts.
They've got a game in hand on Saturday against Batley. If they win it, they're in the top four.
Yeah, I can see Halifax making it to the eights. How they're going, the eights.
Well, I don't think it's really all that surprising. Yeah, they've had a nucleus of a team together for a long, long time. They've got some good leaders on the field and good leaders off the field.
What they got, and I'm sure Minnie's just grabbed the mic, maybe thinking this, what they've got in terms of a mid-season pickup in QLT is a phenomenal player.
Since he's come in, I think they've won every game, haven't they? Or
he's brilliant.
He's just outstanding. He's attacking-wise, anyway. The amount of tries he sets up and scores, and he's just, I think he's been their missing piece. I think they've been playing Will Sharp there, and Will Sharp's a great player, but he's more of a winger, isn't he? He's not a fullback, and he's just adding an extra dimension to their game. He works really well with Scott Morrell and Ben Johnston, and they're looking good, aren't they?
Sheffield wouldn't be third bottom if QLT was still playing for them. They'd be way higher than that.
All right, I think it's time for another break. Yep, we're going to go for a break. When we come back, we're going to have another chat about the Summer Bash competition. Also, we'll be looking around the sport of rugby league. There's quite a few very interesting talking points going on at this point in time. And following that, we'll also be looking at the upcoming Challenge Cup games and games going on this weekend. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2. On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the reggae warrior Ross Peltier, the Italian stallion Elliot Mincella, and the power that is Aaron Bauer. Boys, we've just been talking about the table. We've got that behind us. It was a big weekend in the championship. Obviously, the Magic weekend 2 weekends ago. This weekend was a Summer Bash. Success or not a success?
Not a success from what I've seen. Compared to last year, I played in the Bradford game.
Not a success because you weren't there.
Pretty much because Bradford and OKR weren't there. What were it, like 3,000 people there on the second day?
Yeah, it didn't even look like
in
that.
In such a big stadium, it didn't look good for the game on Sky Sports. It just didn't work.
Problem is with Sunday, you had London and Toulouse, who were never going to bring any fans, and then the four teams that were playing apart from that, three of the bottom four, Rochdale, Swinton and Dewsbury.
I mean, in 2017, they front-loaded the games that weekend as well.
Well, they did it at Magic, didn't they, as well? Yeah. They do front-load Saturday for a reason, because you can make a bit more of a weekend of it if the better teams are playing Saturday. Mm-hmm. But, it was mixed for me. We've got, loads of notes.
Look, they say that there's, 30% decrease in attendances. But without having Hull KR and without having Bradford, which was in 2017, I think that it suggests it's a success because those two teams came with such a following and obviously it packed out that stadia. A decrease of 30% without having one of those big brands in there, actually, for me, it didn't sound too bad. Look, you take those two teams away and would it have been as bad?
I'm not sure.
And the games were excellent.
The games were good. The first game on Sunday in particular, I thought was probably the best game of the weekend for me, the London Toulouse game. But any sort of drop-off by nearly a third in crowd can't be called a success for me. For want of a better phrase, the RFL will keep it because they'll be able to get away with it next year because they'll be able to justify a massive increase when probably Bradford come up and York.
Well, you were stating it. Well, let's not brush past that. No. You were stating it. Bradford Bulls, and you said it first, live on air, will get promoted.
Bradford will win League One.
It's true.
Bradford will win League One.
Well, you can't. You're always going to say that. You've got to think that. You wouldn't be a professional sportsman if you did.
There is always a chance.
Aaron comes at it from a sort of more of a... he's making an evaluation across. He's weighing up what's going on in the competition.
There is always a chance that Bradford right. might not win League One, but after 11 games, Bradford are the best team in that competition. And barring any sort of dramatic collapse in form,
and I'm accusing them of not playing well.
Well, yeah, which you know, and the coach is saying that you're not playing well and not playing to your potential, but. Let's say Bradford go up, let's say York win the playoffs with them, and let's say Widnes come down from Super League. You then have those three fan bases to add in, and they could replace Rochdale, Swinton and Toronto. So you could probably get a record crowd if that happened next year.
You know the way the competition's going, you may see a couple more.
You know, you could front load
of those
it.
Super League clubs down here, would they?
Well, you wouldn't even need to front load it next year. You could have Bradford Halifax as the last game of the weekend. But we have massive crowds.
Oh, massive.
Yeah. Massive game. You know, I Lee could go up, Salford could come down, Hull KR could come down. The event will survive, I think, on the strength of there is a likelihood that with the teams likely to come into the Championship next year and the teams likely to go out, there is going to be an inevitable increase in crowd, so it will stay. And I like it as well because I'm sure these lads will tell you watch Magic Weekend and you say, I'd love to be involved with something like that. It's a day out, it's something quite like Magic, and it's a chance for the Championship to be on Sky, more importantly. It's such a great competition and it needs or it deserves that weekend in the sun where everyone's watching it and all eyes are on it. So I definitely would like to keep it.
Okay, and I'm sure you guys can talk on behalf of your supporters. You will agree your supporters would want to have another weekend away in Blackpool they've done. Sure. I mean, they've gone out to that place and they've rocked the place.
Yeah, I was obviously I wanted a Bradford player last year, but I was quite envious of that. I watched the game live and I wanted to be a part of it. And
that game last year was absolutely brilliant.
I was
brilliant
pretty jealous, to be fair, so I want to be a part of that. And no, it's not only that for as a player to play on TV, it's not something to do. Obviously, Championship. You don't play on TV very often, so it's a bit of a shop window as well for players. And no, it's good. I want to experience it again with Bradford, so hopefully we can next year.
And I mean, it's not the biggest stadium in the world. It's a big stadium, but it's not the biggest. So the atmosphere becomes cracking, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere there. You know, obviously I played in that 1918 game or 2019 game, and it were amazing. It was funny. I seen a few Bradford fans saying RFL try to get Bradford fans there by putting women on this first game.
Not a bad idea. I don't mind that.
Yeah, but I think it's going to work next year as long as
and
we
go. To be honest, actually played on the same day as the men's team, so that's probably where it comes unstuck. Mm. But I'm sure if they'd have made that game earlier and maybe thrown some money the Bradford Bulls' way, there could have been a groundswell to market that game and take that travelling army across to Blackpool again and make a complete day out of it. Mm. But you guys played on the Saturday, didn't you?
Yeah. And
the rugby was great, though. I mean, we'll focus on the crowd, but the rugby was great.
Well, actually, so just on the rugby, let's just have a quick chat about the new refereeing rules come into play. Well, the trialled rules came into play where they're only looking at the two areas, which was the outline and putting the ball down. Did it work?
Yeah, I liked it. Made the game a lot quicker. Less referrals, and even the referrals you got, they were done within 30, 35 seconds. All for it. I'd like to see it rolled out across the game sooner rather than later.
Yeah, everyone did the job as they're supposed to, so it was fantastic to watch. Mm. Everyone made decisions, so great.
And you didn't have the start-stop nature of it all every
plastic,
single time.
Purer, cleaner.
So will we see it before the Super 8s?
No, probably not.
Next year, I
yeah. apparently they've got to go through all sorts of laws committees before things like that can be signed off. So,
oh, seriously.
So I think it'll be next year.
Isn't it just happen. That's just nonsense.
You would think they could do it in time for the eights because it's almost like a new season, isn't it, in a lot of ways.
Let's start the campaign now. Let's do it. What's the hashtag going to be? Hashtag new rules.
Hashtag sort the video ref out, you idiots.
Dissent.
Yellow card. Where's that yellow card? Let's get that yellow card out. All right, so a little bit of colour, though. Let's just talk about the Lee Centurions and Toronto game. Towards the back end of the game, a little bit of colour. And a couple of the coaches, Kieran Pirtle and Paul Rowley, come nose to nose. And there was some, not to say that there was anything untoward, because no one knows what was actually said unless you're right there between them, but there seemed to be a lot of negative energy in that conversation. And I got to admit, it wasn't. Rolls is a emotional guy. You know, he gets amongst it. Kieran was sort of just standing there. If you've seen the footage back, and it's all over social media. I want to upset about it. I was listening to the commentary on Sky, and they were upset about it, but I wasn't. I thought a little bit of colour shows the passion. There was no punches thrown or anything like that, but cut through.
I think rugby league, sometimes we are a little too conservative. You know, if you watch football, you have your Jose Mourinho, Arsene Wenger, Fergie. You know, you've had a history of managers blowing up.
There's a narrative
blowing up
there,
each other,
isn't
and always, and it builds the whole game. So, like, if Lee and Toronto meet again in the Super 8, he's going to be there again. It's going to get bigger. So I think it were only good to add spice to the game.
Do we run the risk of hiding from the people side of it, the emotional side of the sport?
Yeah,
I know you don't, Ross.
No, I don't.
You make stuff up just so you get some colour into it. And I love that. You don't make it up. There's always a seed of truth in it.
Yeah, but I'm banned from interviews now because I say too much. But, you know, it adds spice. It adds that passion to the game. And I think sometimes we're a bit too, you know, say the right thing. Yeah, say the right thing. Don't say something to upset stuff. And, you know, I'm all for it, me, personally.
Yeah, but you're big enough to handle it.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember getting pulled aside by JP because I said, you know, when this Bradford Bulls team hits their form, we'll beat even an Australian team. And I remember JP pulled me aside. He said, you can't see stuff like that. You know, that's just sound big headed and stuff. I said, but I've played against the Aussies. I've played them when they're when they're rubbish. And when this, and the team was full of Great Britain international, New Zealand internationals, and a couple of Aussie internationals, I thought, we could beat the Australians, you know, with synergy. You know, that Leicester City thing where you don't have all the biggest names, but you just have it sometimes where everyone compliments one another. That's what I was talking about.
Mm. Yeah, I'm a person, I've always been taught, you know, if you don't back yourself, who else will? So, you know, I always put my neck on the line and I say it, make it interesting, innit? Because I'll take the heat off these boys. I'll let everyone focus on
you
me.
You won't, though. You're on the sideline. Elliot's in the middle.
I just get people's
fists with his face.
I just get tipped on my head. I think I've been tip-tackled three times this season.
Punched in the lips four times.
Yeah, three block eyes everywhere.
And Elliot's one of the nicest guys on the field until he gets punched in the lips.
Yeah.
So what was it Mike Tyson's saying? Everybody's got a game plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have a look around at some of the hottest topics, including having a chat about Kyle Eastman potentially being set to return to play for the Wolves. So I'm sure Aaron's got the scoop on that. And we'll also be looking forward to the upcoming Challenge Cup games. The quarterfinals are here, so stick with us on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. But before we do that, let's have a look at the final look at the roads.
On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Aaron Bauer, Elliot Mintella and Ross Peltier. This is the final segment. We're going to be looking at some of the hottest topics floating around in the sport of rugby league today, and also looking forward to the upcoming Challenge Cup matches and some brilliant games coming up also. But before we do, we had a captain competition going on with John Kerr, Bradford Bulls head coach, having a little bit of a conversation with Ross Peltier, and we just asked you supporters what exactly he was saying. We had Diane Wood who replied in, That's it. Left arm in, shake it all about and do the hokey cokey. Well, you know the rest. And Matthew Adams is saying, I just don't get this kung fu stuff.
I like Matty Garside's. I think you can't see it, Robbie, because he's on private. But it says, please don't drop that ball again.
Yeah, I'll take that one. Yeah, three knock-ons at weekend, but who's counting?
Well, I think your coach is. I just want to say, Elliot and Aaron, I tried to tag you into the picture that we did today, but you guys have got it on that setting. And you, what are you hiding from? You wouldn't let me tag. It's
too important, aren't we?
Yeah, just got a quality filter.
Yeah, that's it. Quality. I can see all Minnie's tweets. Don't know what's going on.
And another question is also, Pouts, why don't you have a blue tick? Do you not exist?
I'm not happy about it.
Is that the caption competition?
Yeah. Next week.
Yeah, why don't you have a blue tick?
Why doesn't Pouts have a blue
hopefully,
tick?
Hopefully the pals that be at Pulse 2 can help me out. Never know. Producer Luke might
Producer help Luke, he's just having a
bring
game
me
with
in, bring me in on the blue tick life.
No chance, no chance. All right, let's have a look at some of the hottest topics in the sport of rugby league before we get on to the games. Kyle Eastman set to return. Come on, Aaron. What's the scoop there? You're all over this.
Yeah, sounds like he's coming back to rugby league.
Come on home.
Warrington are in talks, trying to get a deal done. He's obviously a free agent. He left Wasps at the end of the Premiership Rugby Union season, which was just finished at the weekend, actually. The sticker is that he'll probably have to kick his heels for, five, 6 months before he can start pre-season training for 2019. I'm sure he'll obviously find a way to keep fit. I'm sure he'll keep his hand in somehow. But
get him down in training and flog him.
They're confident they can get it done. They're confident they can get him in. It'll be a major coup.
Look, it's out of season now. If they could get that done now, why couldn't he start?
They wouldn't have the cap space now to get him in. He's on an absolute fortune.
Sale! Here comes the summer sale!
Yeah.
Who's going? Yeah.
No, I don't think anyone will.
Line them up. You're gone. That's why Warrington are going to start playing well now, because everyone's like, oh, Cole Eastman's coming in.
Someone will leave at the end of the season to make way for him, but not mid-season.
Would it not be a marquee?
Yeah, it'll be marquee.
Do they not get an exception to the salary cap?
Well, he'd be a marquee, and they've only got one at the minute. They've got Tyrone
Where
Roberts.
Does he play?
He plays halfback. But you get an exemption, so if you've been out of rugby league for 5 years...
Tyrone Roberts just signed a contract. Kevin Brown's, obviously, his contract's ongoing for the next couple of years, which is why he put himself out of England recognition. Mm. You've got Stefan Ratchford. Are we not? And we've got a guy that's been
Ratchford's
out of the game for 10 games.
Ratchford's untouchable at fullback. He's not. No one's dislodging him.
Where does he play?
He plays halfback.
Yeah, I reckon I play him over Kev Brown because he's that exciting, Kyle Eastman. He hasn't
put on a rugby league jump. He might have forgotten how to do back-to-back sets.
Mate, he'll still kill it. I've watched him in Union. I have full confidence that him going at the line would be very dangerous.
He's upbringing his rugby league, isn't he?
He was never a rugby league ball player, and that's what they need. He was a runner. He was. I played against him. Yeah. I played against him, and what he was absolutely frightening as a runner. He was like Rob Burrow. Mm. He was like, oh my God, get your line set. Here he is. He gets tackled, and the whole line goes, oh, thank God for that. And then he went off to rugby union. He wasn't a ball player. They're two different types of halves.
You can reinvent yourself, though, can't you? Mm. I mean, he could come back in, and the benefit of having time on his side is he's got 5-6 months to get his head around a new role, hasn't he? So. Yeah, I've got to see him back.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I think he's got enough money to be able to rest for 5 months and train with Warrington. Yeah.
Right. Always comes back to the money. Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
I don't. If he wanted the money, he'd have stayed in rugby union. Warrington won't be. While Warrington can offer big money, I'm pretty sure the likes of other rugby union clubs would have been able to offer him more. So I think this is more a decision about wanting to play.
I mean, that
again.
That has become the glamour boy club, hasn't it, Warrington? Yeah.
That's where the money is.
They don't worry about it, do they?
No. What a way to live your life.
That's cool. All right, let's have a look at the games before we go any further. Look, Ladbrokes quarterfinals, Challenge Cup round. Let's Huddersfield, Catalan tomorrow night. Exciting one.
Crazy game. One win from Wembley, one of those two. Crazy. You know, they both started the season abysmally. They looked like the two worst teams after the opening month. Catalans, everyone thought, were done. Similarly, Huddersfield, that's why Rick Stone got the bullet. But, it's going to be a tough one to call. Both playing well. new coach at Huddersfield, new signing at Catalans, Kenny Edwards coming in from Canterbury. So there's a lot of subplots, a lot of dynamics. I fancy Huddersfield. I do. Playing really well at the minute. They got a good win again at the weekend. So,
and it's at home.
And it's at home, yeah. So I hope the people of Huddersfield can get out and support them.
Yeah, I think Catalan have struggled actually over the years going to John Smith Stadium. It is a big stadium, and when it's not full, you can feel quite lonely. And it is a big, actual physically big field. Mm-hmm. And we're getting the players back and the personnel that Huddersfield have got back over the last couple of weeks.
I think these are the nights where Catalan signed Michael McAloran for. I think the big nights, he knows how to win big games. He's got experience of playing in finals. If they get through it, I would imagine he will have had a big, big part to play in it.
All right, let's look forward then. Boys, start with you guys. Leeds Rhinos versus Lee Centurions. This is going to be a real interesting one. Leeds Rhinos have a world of injuries that they're dealing with at the moment. They're low in form, low in confidence. Lee Centurions on the back end of what they've been doing recently must be just riding high. And this is a great opportunity for them to make a real statement.
Yeah, I think Lee on the form they've had, I think they could nick it against Leeds.
And I'm just going to cut one last thing to throw into the mix. They're not playing at Headingley.
Yeah.
Although they've got the home draw, they're not playing at Headingley, they're playing at Featherstone.
It's at Fev, so it'll be a neutral ground, you know, a lot smaller pitch. With the personnel that are down in the forwards and stuff, you know, there's a lot of young lads out there for Leeds. And they've been getting a bit of stick, like you've seen Jordan Lilly on social media, you know, putting posts about fans who have been, you know, knocking his confidence. And so I can see Lee nicking it, really.
Yeah. Is he really?
Yeah, he's been about, he's been Lee, he's been Fev, and then, you know, Bradford as well. And then he put a poster when he played World Cup Challenge saying, you know, for all the fans who loved me here but hate me now, you know. So it's a confidence thing. It's a funny time at Leeds, you know. There's a lot of young lads, you know.
Elliot, how do you see that game going?
I don't know. It's a hard one to call because me and Aaron was talking before, they've got a couple of players back of Leeds this week. Joel Moon's back, Matt Parcell, and they're two big players for Leeds. So because of that, I'm sitting on the fence, to be honest. I was going to say Leeds.
He's going to say Leeds.
Joel Moon is an X Factor player, and he can just change a game with click
of
his finger.
Parcell controls the middle of the park, so they've got the firepower in the front row.
Because of that, I'm not too sure.
Mikolaj Lidsky, he's tossing people left, right, and centre.
Yeah, I won't be. It's Challenge Cup, and Leeds love the Challenge Cup, so I can just Leeds for me just by.
We're running out of time, and I do want to get to that Saturday game. So Leeds.
Yeah,
Leeds,
I'm the same. I had a sneaky feeling for Leeds during the week, but seeing that Leeds squad today, I think they'll be too strong.
All right, so let's have a look at Saturday's game. Big one, Warrington at home, which is important to Wigan Warriors. And obviously all the Warrington players need to play now because Kyle Eastman's on the way.
This was the game this time last year as well, and Sam Tompkins kicked that drop goal at Warrington to win. It was the best game of the Cup last year, bar none. Hopefully they can deliver the same again. I fancy Warrington. They got pumped by Wigan at Magic 2 weeks ago. I think they'll be smarting from that. My money's on Warrington. They look a different team under Steve Price this year.
Yeah, Warrington win for me. The rebound from the Magic weekend.
Yeah, I'm going Warrington, but it could be tight because Wigan, you know, coming back of OK, our loss, it could be trying to right some wrongs.
Quickly, St Helens and Hull FC.
St Helens all day.
Yeah, Saints.
Yeah, Saints for me, too good.
Ben Barber factor playing a big part of it.
You know, not just him, like we touched on earlier, Lomax playing well, Richardson playing well. They are more than a one-man team. Really good to watch as well.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's us. Thank you very much for listening wherever you are tonight. My thanks to Ross Peltier, Elliot Minchella, and Aaron Bauer. We love you. We'll be back this time next week, so be with us 6 to 7.
Listen back to today's show and all previous Robbie Hunter Paul shows at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.